Good morning and welcome to Brass Tack Sunday for the 24th day of June 2018. Now, as any other Brass Tack Sunday, we bring to you an expert panel to deal with the subject of the sick building syndrome. And I believe that this is timely, not because of the middle spread in today's Sunday sun, not because of that, but because of the many sick buildings that we continue to plague the landscape of Barbados. Listening to VOB just this morning, we heard on Teacher's Corner, even some of the teachers talking about some of the schools. We know of the judicial building, we know of the immigration building, and we know of the long list of buildings adding to the list of problems that Barbados faces. Now, if you're familiar with BAPE, the Barbados Association of Professional Engineers, you would notice of late, particularly, they have been speaking out about the systemic failures in multiple areas of our national infrastructure. Last year, I remember doing a program, and even this year, on the pothole problems and even the South Coast sewage problems we've been hearing from BAPE on these. This is just another one where BAPE has taken the responsibility to add to one of the critical aspects of any solution to any national problem, and that is public awareness. And we here at Brass Tack and of course at Williams Industries are very proud to play our part in facilitating that national discussion where you can get direct answers from those in the know. I want to introduce first of all Mr. Trevor Brown. He is the president of the Barbados Association of Professional Engineers, and I'll allow him to introduce his guests. And notice I said his guests. They are our guests. But he's the president, he's the man steering the ship this morning. I want to say a good morning and welcome Colonel Trevor Brown.
Well, good morning to you, Corey, and to all listeners. Thank you very, very much for your welcoming statement. It is true that BAP, the Barbados Association of Professional Engineers, we have taken on the responsibility, we like to think, of being very concerned about the serious state of much of our national infrastructure. As you said, we started last year with the issue of potholes, something we are still concerned and working on. We also got very involved in the whole question of hurricane preparedness. We said then that we were particularly concerned about the intensity of last year's hurricane season, and even more concerned about the predictions for this year from the experts,
correct,
who are even suggesting that this year could be worse. And then you mentioned the ongoing headache of the South Coast Sewage Project, and now it seems also the Bridgetown Sewage Project. But even in the midst of all this, the question of what we're calling our sick building syndrome has taken high priority with BAP. We are particularly concerned that such large, expensive, important infrastructure among our limited national resources, we are seeing being abandoned. And we're not abandoned, we're seeing huge sums of money that should be spent on further national development having to be expended to bring these back to habitable state. And even so, that does not seem to solve the problem in the long term. So we are very, very concerned. So the purpose of this exercise this morning is to actually build some awareness, because what BAP is actually doing is on the 12th of July, we've actually called all the national experts together. We're going to be having a seminar, one-day seminar. And the intent of that seminar is to understand the whole background, what is causing this issue of sick building syndrome in Barbados, what the fundamental reasons are. And more importantly, what we're asking from these experts is to come up with the solutions for Barbados. What do we need to do to make this problem go away? I can tell you that in many modern developed jurisdictions, this is not a serious problem. We do not have this problem of massive sick building. Sick building is an ongoing thing all over the world, but it is solved. Issues, the fundamental reasons are found and they are made to go away. Also, and I will be saying this many, many times today if you give me the chance, so let me start by saying it now. Also, in most jurisdictions, there are rules and regulations, what we call building codes, that direct the building and maintenance of large national infrastructure where the public is going to be using it. those guidelines dictate that minimum standards, because we know what standards are needed to live in healthy buildings. I mean, we know the kind of air that needs to be there. We know the kind of cleaning that needs to be done. We understand the kind of air, the air temperatures that are correct. So these factors are all known. In most countries, there are codes and building guidelines that direct how these things must be addressed. I will be saying over and over that we do not have this in Zimbabwe. We are not satisfied with what happens in Barbados. And this is a fundamental cause of the problems that we are seeing. But before I get into my preaching, you asked me to introduce our other guest. We actually asked some very knowledgeable people to come along with us this morning to share information, because we suspect that there may be some questions from the audience that would need that level of expertise. And I have Mr. Dev Maharaj. I'm going to ask him to give a little bit about his background. But he's a professional engineer and very involved with HVAC systems. Mm-hmm. So he is going to be able to talk about air conditioning and the design and those
excellent.
Kind of...
Excellent.
And we also have an architect, Mr. Peter...
Sandiford.
Mr. Peter Sandiford, mm-hmm. who we asked to come along because, as you know, the design of these large buildings is largely in the hands of architects. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that he's going to be able to share some information on some of the backgrounds to some of these problems and maybe what some of their concerns are. And we've also asked Dr. Dawn Allen to join us. She is one of the medical people who are on the front line of facing the consequences of sick buildings. As you know, people not feeling well, large numbers of people coming out with unspecified illnesses, and the poor doctors having to deal with this on an ongoing basis. And of course, the poor employers having to deal with poor performance and poor attendance and
absenteeism. Mm-hmm.
So that is our panel.
So I want to say, you know, to the listeners, usually when we have these specialized programs, I like to put things in context for them, because a lot of the times they will say, oh, that's an engineer program. You know, no, it is not. This is a national program, because you're the persons who are living and working in these buildings. You're the person who spend, you know, 8 hours, sometimes more in these buildings. Even if not you, your family, your children, your spouse. So you need to pay attention. The other thing is, when I look at the objectives of today's program, one of the things we're going to need you listeners for is help in agitating for change and improvement. Not that we want to keep noise and at the end of the day have no results, nothing to show, but we need to agitate for the improvements. Because Dr. Brown, I call you Dr. Brown, spoke about the cause of the problem in terms of getting the buildings back to where they need to be. I want to add something to that. When I look at the rental cost to government, when they have to rent buildings, when these buildings are down, we have the court building, but yet we are renting space for the court to carry on its operation. When I look at some of the ministries being outfitted in various places, the rental cost is, when people are renting to government, there's a seems to be a premium cost to government. But guess what? They're renting to us because we pick up that bill. Our taxpayer dollars pick up that bill. We forget that all the time. We say government wasting money. But it's our money. We want to identify some of the failures that have led to the situation. We also want to touch on the consequences to health, national productivity, and property management. And also, the most important, what are some of the permanent solutions to this vexing problem? So I want to hear from two of our guests, and then we take a break. And of course, then we'll open up the lines and have one big national discussion on the idea of sick building syndrome. So let's go with you, Mr. Peter Sandiford, first.
Hi, good morning. Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me here. My perspective is going to be mainly focused on obviously the design and implementation of the design of buildings. My expertise is more in the rehabilitation of old buildings, which is also a major concern, but also of new builds. And in most cases, it's commercial buildings that have these problems. Mm-hmm. So that'll be my angle on the approach.
Mr. Brown spoke about the idea of the cost. And I know a lot of time I've heard builders myself, and you could confirm it here, this is for edification, that it is cheaper to build a new building than sometimes to remodel an old one. Let's get your take on that early o'clock. Because we're talking about cost to Barbados, cost to us, the taxpayers.
The answer to that question is not a simple one. Renovations in general can be more expensive, in my experience, mm-hmm. Taking into consideration the cost to renovate or demolish the existing structure and then to modify the existing structure. And of course, dealing with issues that you might not be aware of before you start building. If it's an old building, for example, you might find something in the walls or a structure that's weaker than you may have thought. So depending on the extent of the renovation, it can be more or less expensive than building from new. When you have an existing structure, you obviously have walls that you can reuse, hopefully the roof or parts of the structure that can be reused, and that helps to reduce your cost. But when it comes to fixing the problems that you may find inside of these structures, you may actually end up spending more. There is value to keeping an old structure. There's history involved. Mm-hmm. There's always some kind of emotional attachment to the building or whatever historical value the building may have. So there's, you can't really put a price on that. So, mm-hmm. you know, it may...
It'd be more expensive, but the value is what you're looking
exactly,
at.
Exactly, right? Mm. And so especially with the World Heritage nomination and those kind of things, you want to be able to maintain that kind of standard and help promote Barbados in that light. So you don't want to be knocking down buildings just because they're old. Mm. You know what I mean? So one has to look at the dollar value in terms of that as well.
All this is just the opening, and I don't want to leave some of the meat for the middle. But I want to ask this next question. Mr. Brown said throughout the program, he's going to be talking about standards. And when we talk about building code and standards, one would think a country like Barbados would have some of the highest standards. Because when you think of Tonga Country Planning and the lengthy time it spends to get these approvals and so on, it means, therefore, we have very high standards and they're going through everything with a fine tooth comb. Right? Right? Right?
Yes, there are standards. There are standards. But if you look at St. Lucia, for example, they have a different application process for their town planning approval. They require engineering drawings. They require electrical drawings. They require more drawings than the town planning department requires here in Barbados, for example. Not to say that we don't have the skilled technology, the knowledge here to deal with the issues. It's just that when it comes to the application process, when town planning or even EPD, which is the Environmental Protection Department, when they get drawings, they're not necessarily seeing the whole picture. And so that's something that needs to be addressed
actually,
as well.
As I said, they're going to be saying it's over. Yeah, so we're going to be
saying
it,
but go ahead.
It boils down to the fact, I was in St. Lucia last week at a conference put on by the CDB, and they were dealing with building to face hurricanes and major challenges. And the difference between St. Lucia, for example, Grenada, even Dominica, and Barbados, is that the law in St. Lucia requires that building codes, there's a law that actually says that you have to meet the building code. In Barbados, there is no law. Now, we have a first-class building code. It was just done in 2013, I think, by the BNSA, the Standards Institute. They did a first-class job. It's an extensive, impressive document. But it's voluntary. It is voluntary.
I do have an issue with that building code, though. I mean,
well, everybody have
get down into that later on the program.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a different topic altogether.
I'm glad you said that because growing up, and I hope Barbadians are listening, because growing up, we always used to be have this notion in our mind about Barbados versus the Lower Islands. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to hear that Barbadians can actually hear where we are in relation to standards and how we do things. And this really is a program about national education and at the same time, a call to look within ourselves and how we can do better. I go over to the engineer, Dev Mahara. Okay, I got it right.
Mahara for me, man.
Managing Director of Building Management and Control Systems. That's correct, right? All right, you tell us a bit about yourself and what you do and what you expect out of the program today.
Good morning, Dev Maharaj, Managing Director of IAQ Solutions, Inc. We're an air conditioning systems provider specializing in commercial industrial type air conditioning systems, precision type systems for server rooms and clean air environment. I'm hoping to share some of my experiences over the last 29 years in this HVAC industry throughout the Caribbean, starting off in Trinidad, traveling as far north as Jamaica, on work assignments, far south as Guyana. I've seen this type of problem everywhere I've been, and there are solutions. We have codes, we have MEP codes, we have HVAC codes, which govern our industry, the air conditioning type industry. As Trevor would have alluded to, these codes are non-enforceable, which is a crying shame. We at BAPE have been advocating enforcement of these codes years over. I really don't understand, Trevor, what the issue is there. But again, BAPE has been advocating advancement of these codes and enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
My particular industry, the HVAC industry, is governed by ASHRAE, the American Society for Heating, Air Conditioning, Refrigeration Engineers. And the codes are there very clearly. The codes that govern the particular situation that we're talking about this morning, ASHRAE standards 62.1, 62.2, ventilation standards for acceptable indoor air quality. So I hope that we will have some questions coming through. I hope to share more on these standards, codes, and so on as the program progresses.
I just want to ask you one question. If you had to identify one or two of the major issues for Barbados as it relates to ventilation and so on,
yes,
what would you say those two issues are? Because I was thinking maintenance as one, right? But then when you talk about ventilation and so on, to me that has to do with how you actually start, how you lay out the building and so on, where the vents, where the windows are and so on. But I'm not the professional. I'll ask you, what are the two major issues if you had to put your finger on them?
Yeah, I'll take it in reverse, Corey. We have some very competent engineers, consulting design companies in Barbados, very competent, throughout the Caribbean. Our engineers do not get the respect that we deserve, but I can assure you, here in Barbados, I've been operating for the last 18 years, and I work closely with two major MEP providers, very competent engineers, run these organizations and ensure standards and provide specifications. So the problem is not design. Mm-hmm. As I was telling Trevor while we were waiting in the lobby, I would put number one and two. I would say number one would be maintenance, number two, maintenance.
Yeah. And because of this lack of maintenance, we're giving our colleague, Dr. Dawn Aline, a lot of work. I want to say good morning and welcome to the studio, Dr. Aline. Good morning. Morning to you. And I want you to tell the listeners a bit of what you do and what it is you're seeing out there in relation to this building syndrome.
Okay. Good morning, and I want to say thank you to Lieutenant Colonel Brown for inviting me to be part of this panel. I am a pulmonologist, which, for those who think pulmonary means cardiology, we are specialists in lung diseases. One of the issues with sick building syndrome, and some people don't really like that term because it implies that there are some healthy buildings and some of them are sick, but really what we're looking at is the response of patients, or people actually, to what happens within the building environment. And there's something known as environmental intolerance. So something that affects me may very well not affect you, and we might be exposed to exactly the same thing. And for that reason, several patients will show up at your doorstep with various complaints which don't seem to be related. Now, shortness of breath is one of the common ones, and we as physicians have to look to see whether or not the symptoms that the patients are presenting with are because of something that we can remedy or whether it is because of something that's going on in their environment. And the only way to really know that is to really do a full history and try to explore what is going on within their building. Are they the only one that's being affected? Is it something that just started? How long has it been going on for? And does it get better when you're away from work? Because these are the things that sort of lead you in one direction or the other. And of course, we need to be cognizant of the fact that in terms of building-related illnesses, which is one of the terms that some authorities like to use, there are two types. There are those with identifiable cause, for example, those that are related to infection, like Legionella, and then there are those with no identifiable cause, and sick building syndrome falls in that category. And we have to then look to see whether or not what we're dealing with is something that has a label, whether we can identify the cause, and if we can treat the patient. It often is very vexing for the individual who comes to the doctor with these symptoms and then they end up going back to where they're working.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things is that often the individuals are not believed by the employer. So that adds another label on another element on top of everything else. Mm-hmm. And it makes it extremely frustrating for them because, you know, other people are sitting there. They seem to be okay. And why is it you're always the one that has the complaint?
Mm-hmm. Right. You're answering all of the questions I actually have for you in like one go, right? Because I was speaking to a chief executive and a permanent secretary, and really hoping neither of them are listening right now, but they're actually saying that a lot of this sickness and so on, they don't believe. They say that sometimes when you look at the conditions that these people living at home, the conditions at work are better. And therefore, they're wondering why there's so many complaints in relation to sick building syndrome. So here we have on the program the doctor asking, is this problem really, is it real, or are these people just playing truant? So you answered that in terms of the additional burden of not feeling believed. And in the same situation where, especially at schools, we have a number of students, we had a number of schools recently, a number of students and teachers falling ill. And the question being asked, why isn't everybody falling ill if they are in the same environment? But you would have outlined that in terms of the environmental tolerance of some people may be greater than that of others. It's just gone 24 minutes after 11 o'clock. There you have it. You have the guests. You understand where the program is. And here is the numbers, 434-1790, 434-1790. If you want to get in a call, answer question, experts on call. If you want to call it that, I'm your moderator, Corey Lane, sitting in the chair, producer and technical operator, Dennis Johnson. And you know you can give us a WhatsApp also at 266-IVOB, that's 266-4862. And you know, as always, this program is brought to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form play for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Yes, please. Let's go directly over to the telephone lines and say good morning and welcome to our first caller. You are on the air.
Good morning to you, Mr. Lane.
Hi, good morning.
But, first, let me establish I'm not an engineer, haven't studied engineering, so I'm glad you've got those gentlemen on the program there that would enlighten me on some of the concerns I've got in relation to the complaint of sick buildings. Would that be okay with you?
Of course.
It's an enlightening situation I'm asking. We know over the years, sir, that we've had a whole transition of buildings built. Architects have come up with some of the most beautiful designs we've had in Barbados. They've used what we can consider to be some shades to prevent the sun from going on to some of the building. And they've used the heavy air condition on the inside. Now, I am one who, when I look back at buildings in Barbados that have been built many, many years, take for example the government ministerial building in 1958, and has not been considered as a sick building as yet. You heard the statement, as yet. Right? But when you look at recent buildings, take for example the National Insurance building on Fairchild Street, 67, quite recent. And you look at the Treasury building, also quite recent. And you ask these questions, how it is that these buildings have been built in a modern era and they're confronted with the problems which they're encountering. Now, the statement made by your engineers there that it's the situation of maintenance. Let's take it as maintenance. But will this maintenance relate to the materials that are being used by the cleaners in the building? Or is the material that these buildings have been built out with over the years, is the inferior material? Perhaps I can stop there and get the two questions answered from the gentleman, because I'm trying to gain some knowledge. And the first question is it the material used by the cleaners, these commercial cleaners, that is creating the problems, or is it the material used for building these buildings that make it conducive for what we are encountering now?
You want me to tackle that? Mm-hmm. That's actually a very good question from that call. Mm-hmm. And, well, I hope it gives me the chance to say some very important things, because he made the point about, he compared an older building with what's happening now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to understand that the world has changed dramatically in the last 25 years. Technology has, I mean, we live in a completely different world to 1990. Mm-hmm. And the kind of buildings that we build nowadays and the kind of technology we use in building nowadays is completely different to what would have happened back in the 60s. And in the 60s, the technology was very simple. I mean, to be quite honest, compared to what we do now, building a large building then was a very simple, open. The kind of buildings we build now and the kind of environments that we create inside of those buildings need to be designed by people who really understand what they're doing. It is not the sort of thing that you can look at one down the road and just do and do this one. So this is why we have architects, this is why we have MEP engineers, specialists, whose job it is to understand all the factors that they're working with and doing that design. So as he said, you will find that a building that was built in 1960, a fairly simple design. I mean, they're not very, very complicated compared to what we have now. And they will last, and they will tend not to have the kind of problem. But the modern buildings are very more efficient, for example. From a cost point of view, the kind of material we use, very more specialized. But then, the kind of maintenance that is needs to go with it is also more specialized. So you get better buildings, more efficient from a cost point of view, because if we had to build the way we built in the 60s now, I mean, it would be very, very expensive. So we use new technologies and new materials that we can do all sorts of fancy things that look really good. But then you have to maintain it. And then you need a level of experience, of expertise to maintain it if you're going to continue to get good results. The mistake that we tend to make in Barbados is to think that we can take 2020 technology and apply maintenance techniques from 1960 and expect to get good results. Try doing that with your car and see what will happen.
Can I come back in there to this point? I find that your question is not, your answer is not what I've asked. And you table it back down to what I said, that is it maintenance? And you seem to believe it is maintenance. You haven't given us if it is inferior material, because if you tell me it is maintenance, then government headquarters are also maintained by chemical cleaners. And other buildings are also maintained by chemical cleaners. So I have to rule out that as one of the problems. My personal feeling, sir, is that somewhere along the line, a lot of the architects have studied overseas, maybe wrong. They've seen beautiful buildings, and they've started to incorporate in modern-day Barbados some of those buildings that they might have seen across the countries of which they study. Not relating that the conditions of Barbados and the conditions of this country are conditions that are far conducive for other things other than what they're offering us. So I'm not blaming them. I'm asking, I'm ignorant. I'm ignorant to the sense that somewhere along the line, I can't believe it is maintenance when I'm seeing other buildings that, as you say, back in 1960, back in 1950, and I've seen some in 1967, some in 1990, complaining of sick syndrome. What I would like to hear from the engineers, how can these problems be solved? Because if there's going to be a continuation of new buildings in Barbados, and within 10 years of these new buildings, we're faced with what you consider or what they consider sick buildings, the problem has got to be somewhere down the line that can be solved by you people sitting there, the engineers. How can we solve some of these problems?
Well, sir, I was trying to explain to you that the problem is maintenance from the perspective that we are trying to do maintenance that was designed for 1960 on buildings that were built in 2020. And that presents a problem. The other question you spoke about, the architects and the professions that we have, is absolutely not true. Our architects and engineers understand very well the local environment. And they have a very good feel for it. I can tell you that from experience. I spent my life working with architects and engineers. So there is, and you talk about chemicals and all that. That is also, that's a separate issue, and that's a completely different issue. And it is also true. You have a point that the how we use the chemicals, made there are all sorts of guidelines, and we have to be very careful about that. And again, this reinforces the point. Let me say this again. The chemicals, there are guidelines for 21st century use of chemicals that are designed for 21st century use of chemicals. Those guidelines must be managed by a maintenance system that is designed for the 21st century. I'm telling you that we cannot expect to use the old kind of cleaning methods we use, the old kind of management methods we use on the new kind of materials that we now work with in 2018 and 2019.
But before you come back in, caller, I want to hear from Engineer Dave.
Thank you.
Yes. Hi, caller. When we speak from an engineering perspective about building maintenance, the least of our technical voice would be in the direction of industrial cleaning. I think you're talking more about industrial cleaning rather than maintenance of the MEP system, the mechanical.
You're right. Industrial cleaning. You're perfectly right. I'm on that one. Go ahead.
All right. So when we speak about maintenance and the lack of maintenance there, what we're really addressing here is proper maintenance of good designs that were put into these modern buildings. Buildings of the past were designed for a high percentage of ventilation. However, it did not create a very amicable type working environment for the occupants. This is why HVAC air conditioning was invented, you know, to create a more pleasant working environment for the occupants. The maintenance that we speak about in particular relates to the HVAC system. And any good design that's put together at the beginning of construction would include the standards, as we just spoke about, ASHRAE standards 62.1 and 2. Proper ventilation is of primary importance. The magnitude of the air conditioning system in terms of its capacity to handle not only the cooling aspect of the building, but also, more importantly, humidity control. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I'm learning something from you. Go ahead. I'm learning.
Okay. Yeah, so big part of our problem here in Barbados and throughout the Caribbean, as Trevor alluded to originally, was the standards and the lack of standards and enforceable standards. And we have too many, and forgive me for saying this, pretenders in the industry. Competition drives our industry throughout the third world, you know, because we don't have standards, we don't have governance. And price is king, all right? So the experts would come in and give the glorious, the correct recommendations. No one wants to pay for a design, all right? We want the solutions, but we don't want to put the buck out there to achieve that. I tell you something, design is far more important than the hardware that we put into a building. We can put throw hardware on top of hardware, and it will not solve the problem. In fact, it might compound the problem. Mm-hmm. Let's address the problem from the root, all right? A proper design from a proper engineering firm, and as I said, you know, there are a few very competent companies here in Barbados, a lot of companies, competent companies throughout the Caribbean, and the design intent has to last the lifetime of that building. And part of achieving design intent is ensuring that the MEP system is properly maintained and competently maintained.
Are we here for architect Peter Sandiford? No.
If I may, I'm not an engineer by any stretch of the imagination, but what people tend to forget too, and what tends to happen quite often, is the retrofitting of old buildings. So if you take the building like the Treasure Building, NS Building, those kind of 1960s architecture type styles, they may not have been designed with an HVAC system of this technology that we have today in mind. And so when you take a building which may not necessarily be these two buildings that we're talking about, but any building that may say at a commercial scale that encompassed natural ventilation to keep the building cool and to have the airflow going through and whatnot, when you start blocking up those airways, those natural ventilation holes or ducts that may have been created in the original design scheme, and you try to then air condition a space which wasn't, you know, that wasn't the original design at the time, it can cause these problems that we're having today. So yes, it could be a design flaw, but I think it's more of a design flaw compatibility more than it is from a master plan or an architectural design scheme of the building itself. We have the building, the court building, which is relatively new, and that would have been built from scratch with the technology that we have today. And we still have this problem. So, you know, it's very hard to pinpoint when a building is going to get sick or if it will get sick. It all depends on what you do to the building, where the building is located, what environmental aspects are being impacted onto the building, which nobody can ever guess. You know, when you sit down and you start designing a building, even if it's in an urban context, it's very difficult to assume what environmental conditions will impact the building if it wasn't built for an HVAC system or whatever the case may be 20, 30, 50 years from now.